All right, well, let's go into the Word. I'm going to just give you maybe some of the things I'm going to tell you you haven't heard before, but if you have, then just go along with it, all right? Today, I just want to call my message a call, and that's all. A call, and that's all. That's all I had when God called me both to minister the word out on the road for those just that far away from 10-year full-time ministry with my sister and brother-in-law. We traveled on a bus, and you've got to know that when we traveled in a Silver Eagle in those days, and a bus like that can either make you or break you, and it was always a blessing to us. It never broke us. It was a blessing, and I mean, anything can go on with something that huge, a big diesel rig, anything can go wrong with it, and it could cost you probably $100,000 today to fix it. But God was with us. So we'll just go back to a few things. I want you to go to Luke chapter 48, and we will start here with Luke chapter 6. Verse 48. And I want to say this about you, about this church, about the buildings and all that the Lord has given us. Make sure I can hear myself there, Brother Robert. Maybe it's my mic. But these 20 years, 27 years, both bear witness to the testimony of Jesus, as it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 2. But I believe that it bears witness to the testimony of Jesus. And not only that, but I believe these 27 years bear witness to you and me, to us, amen, as a body of Christ. So let us look at Luke 6. This has always been comforting to me because I know this is just the way it was, and it's just the way it is, and it's just the way it's going to continue. It's just the way it's going to be, and I comfort you with those words this morning. Luke 6. Verse 48. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose and the stream beat vehemently against the house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, I just saved a little time and didn't read the upper words that said a man either builds on the sand or builds a foundation of his house on a solid rock. And it makes a big difference because if a home is built on a solid rock, a great foundation, then the Bible says the winds blow, the rains come, and the floods rise. And if it's built on the sand, it crashes and falls, and the Bible said in the Old King James, and great is the fall of it. But it says, if a man builds his house upon the rock, the winds blow, the rains come, the floods rise, and it continues to stand. And that's why I just chose this one piece in verse 48. Verse 47 says, whosoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. So he says, not only do you build your house on a rock, but if you hear my sayings, you read my word, and you don't just hear my sayings, but you do them, he says, I'll tell you what that man is like. I'll tell you what that woman is like. I'll tell you what that child or that teenager is like. I love that. He didn't leave the people out. Verse 48, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Our rock we know is Christ Jesus. And when the floods rose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And I'm going to tell you, church, over these years, these 27 years, we've had a lot of things come and go. Every year there was something. You know, you start out with a great zeal and everybody's ready to build a new church, and years go by And people get familiar with each other and they get familiar with the pastor. But I'm going to tell you, all of these things come and went, but nothing was ever able to shake us at Landmark. We always stood strong. We're still standing strong, and I believe we will always stand strong. Amen? You better help me or this could get really long. I'm going to try to just read my notes because it's pretty personal, because the Lord knows I could go everywhere, man, and we would just be here forever. Though people came and went, we've always stood on the rock. We always stood on Jesus and not what men would say. I can promise you, I never consulted anyone else when it came time to building and what God would say. I don't want to consult anybody else about a message to bring to you this morning or last week. You know why? Because you're a different group of people. You're not the Nazarene church. You're not Glad Tidings. You're not the Believer's Church. You know, their pastor has a word for them. They're a different group of people, but we were a people that never were, and now here we are, we sat together. But God has had his hand on us ever since this church was conceived in the thought of my mind when he gave it to us. His hand was upon his church. And he has promised me, I heard this yesterday, but it's all been a part of the plan all the way through, that he would bring his promise to fruition that he has promised us. We've never been a church of a lot of programs, and sometimes I just don't like that at all. But I look back years ago, and there was one time where we had 66 ministries. And we had everything from a golf ministry. You guys golfed about twice a week, had a little Bible study, maybe once a month. We had a quilting sewing class where Linda taught the women to sew and make little pillows, how to put a button on their husband's shirt or, you know, darn something. And I don't even know if they even do that anymore. I haven't done that probably ever. But she could do it. She could do that. And she did. Kathy taught Knowing God, My Father. Kathy had a rowdy father. That's a soft word for her daddy. Some of you didn't even have a father. But we had a class called Knowing God as Father. We had a class called Have a New Kid by Friday. You say, well, that's impossible. Well, I'm telling you, it was a lot. So we had 66 groups. And that was for a season. It was a lot. Okay, but Our promise has been the glory of God in revival. Not saying we won't have those ministries again and those small groups. I'm in for it. Lord, whenever you're ready, if you've got some of these giftings in your heart, let me know. And we will build on that. But we've been through a whole new season since COVID. Now, you can't ride that horse forever. You can't ride COVID. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying a lot of things happened during that time that were very difficult, and churches around America are still building up. And so, but I'm holding on to that promise, and I'll say this. When the church started, some of you were here with me. I was a 44-year-old young woman. Some of you were not even 44 yet, with a 16-year-old daughter. Sarah was with me. She was about 16 when we came off the road. And 10 years earlier, we had been through the major, major trauma. Most all of you know that my husband and daughter were killed by a drunk driver. And so it was that same, maybe 6 months later, we went on the road full time with Laney and Doyle. And so, you know, that was a story in itself. But while I was out there, I learned a lot of things. I saw a lot of churches, saw a lot of things that worked and things that didn't work. And it was in a class of its own for us as we were out there living on the bus, which the pastors were always generous to put us in two hotel rooms, their family and our family. And so we traveled. You know, I had my home on Whitechapel. They had their home. And so we were blessed to have our homes and get to come home once a month, sometimes once every 2 weeks. But it was a blessing, and it was a learning transition. But after 10 years, right at 10 years, the Lord called us home. And so my sister, brother-in-law, they went to Bakersfield. Now they're the pastors of that church. But I knew that I was called to raise up a church. Now that was an amazing thing. I had a call, and let me tell you, I had a call, and that was all. I mean, that was just all I had. I had no people. I had no building. I had no money. I'm just telling you, I didn't have a degree. I hadn't been to Bible college. I didn't even have a pulpit. Didn't have a building. The only thing I had, thank God, which was a big thing, we had each other. I had Sarah, had Lainey and Doyle, my mother, my family. But I had to call to do that, but that was it. So you had none of those other things. And I had, it was the funniest thing, you guys. It was the funniest thing. I really kind of enjoyed putting this together because I look back and I wrote down, I had a very powerful, yet a childlike knowing with the greatest peace in me and understanding. I don't even know how I understood what the Lord wanted me to do. It was just this knowing. Michael, you preached one day when you were here. You spoke that Sunday, and you talked about that knowing. Remember that? Some of you mentioned that over and over. He spoke of just knowing, and the Lord had him go this way. He said, I just knew I was supposed to go that way, and discovered a man that was kidnapping a child. And so that was a whole other story. But there's times where you have that too. But you just have to learn sometimes that this is God putting this knowing in you. But I just honestly can tell you right now, I did not wrestle with that knowing. And that's a big deal to go home to the little town you were raised in, because the Bible says that a prophet is without honor in his own country. Well, I never was without honor or the favor of the Lord in my own country. I just wasn't. How does that happen? And here I am, now a brand new young widow, not knowing a thing about anything, but I had just been to all these places. And I did have, besides my daughter, I had a sound system. So Lainey and Brother Doyle told me, they said, look, you can take the Seville sound system and you can use that. So I had the sound system. I finished all the other meetings I had to do. I flew out, did those things, and came home. Finally, it was over. And I got to come home, and I got the building. Not going to go into that. We've talked about that a lot. But you say, well, then what was your training? You didn't go to Bible college? I went to a dentist one time, and he says, where did you go to Bible college? When he found out I was a pastor, and then a female at that, I could tell he just didn't like it one bit, but it didn't matter to me what he liked. I'm like, Bubba, you haven't paid the price I paid. Or Jesus paid to put a church on the corner. So it doesn't matter to me. He says, so where did you go to Bible college? Well, I got to tell you, that one got me. I got a little intimidated. A little embarrassed. And I said, oh, you know, doctor, I didn't go to Bible college. You didn't? Then how can you do this? And I said, well, I guess I went through the University of Hard Knocks. And boy, it was a hard university. And he said, was it located somewhere? I said, oh, no, you know. I just wanted to say, why don't you just shut up? I said, no. Yeah, I'm just saying that it's Hard Knocks along the way. And I told him about Rick and Jamie and our life and, you know, going from a mother of two to mother one. And, you know, he didn't want to focus. I was never a victim. I can just tell you that. In those days, you know, you were with me. I was never, ever a victim. I never planned to be. And if you are, you need to get out of that, because that is a deadly killer right there. And so I said, well, we finally got off of that. And I just told him, no, I got my years here. But I'll tell you what my training was. My training was years of prayer before that accident even happened back up at the ranch. We talked about that, hours every day. I was drawn to it. Oh, just like you craving an ice cream or chocolate, I craved a praise. Like, what? What kind of person craves praying? No, I had to have it. Every day I'd walk up in those hills for about 6 hours and pray before the girls got home from school. Years of praying and years of learning to trust and totally depend upon God. I spent those years in that university of hard knocks and blessings. All the blessings came and the hard times came, but the blessings always outweigh all that. And I've never said this before, but here's some classes. That university offered these kind of classes as I was growing up as a little girl. You know, you lay your life down for your call when you're called. You always lay your life down for it. You don't even know that's what's happening. Whether you're in wherever God has put you, if the call is on your heart to do what you do with your career, then you have paid a price to be there. I mean, you've just paid the price. And so the university I was in, though, it offered classes like this. It offered classes on fear, lack, loss, loneliness, intimidation, inferiority. It offered classes on hurt, pain, embarrassment, worry. I came from a long line of warriors. Woo! My grandma Delk, listen, she worried so hard. I mean, she was worried. And if you didn't want to worry about something, just take it up to her. She would do it for you. She just knew how. Well, and then she would talk about being nervous. My mother said when I married into the Delk family, I'd never heard the word nervous. And she says, I'm nervous. My mother asked my daddy, so what's nervous mean? He said, oh, don't worry, you'll be around my mom, you'll find out. She will make you nervous. And she did. So I came from a long line and could come by it very honestly, being all negative. But see, I took all those classes. Oh, I enrolled in fear all through high school. I enrolled in some of those lack. My little girl had all these eye surgeries, and my husband and I had no insurance, and man, it just about broke us. We were busted and disgusted and not knowing. I mean, he's working, but I couldn't work, and oh, it was amazing. So I went through those classes that University of Hard Knocks offered. But they also, there was the same university also offered classes on prayer, and I took those classes. And I took those classes on faith because he said we have a shield of faith and it just covers us all the way down. It just covers us all over. And every morning when I bless my family and I bless my little ones before they go to school, I say, Lord, put that shield of faith all over them. Cover them front and back and from the feet up. When I pray about you, I say, Lord, may they, when they go out today, put that shield of faith over them where nothing can shake them, nothing. With the breastplate of righteousness, keep them holy and strong no matter what the temptation is, Lord. I know Landmark people, they are built on the rock, Christ Jesus. And it doesn't matter what comes, what goes, what rains, what floods, what wind blows. Are you all in here this morning? You'll stand. Oh, you've gone through these classes. Oh, you've gone through them. I know you know what I'm saying. And so you've had these classes. It also offered classes on trust. My Lord, I learned to trust Him for everything, from diapers for the children to winter coats to a car. I learned to trust Him through all these things. And commitment, I learned how to be committed. Oh, I took many classes on commitment. You're either in or you're out, girl. And the Lord, you know what? He treated me like I could handle all this. Like, God, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who my grandma was? And then my mother had been around her so long, my mother started getting nervous. Now, if I'm not careful, with all these people coming in this week, I can just be a nervous wreck. Sarah told me the other day, Mom, you just need to calm down. It's going to be all right. I'm like, oh, yes, 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 yes. I taught about Hebrews 4. I can enter into the rest. There's a rest laid up for me. Oh, yes, Lord, I forgot for a minute, but I'm right back. So we took all these classes, but we learned to get committed because there's been some times where you just want to run away. David said, oh, David himself, King David. David said, oh, if I had the wings of a dove, I would just fly away. How many times have you felt like that? I'd just fly on out of here. But you know what? When you got there, there'd just be, you know, you say, there I'm getting away from this rat race. People are leaving California all the time, getting away from the rat race. My sister and brother-in-law, their little church, about 100 people. You know what? They have literally lost 65 people. The big Baptist church in Bakersfield's lost 208 families. Not through confusion, but moving to Nashville, moving to Tennessee, moving to Missouri, moving to Texas. You know, the Exodus used to be the Okies and Arkies and Texans. They all came out here. Now there's an Exodus. They're going back. Oh, they're going to get away from the rat race of California. How long do you think it's going to take them to find out there's just bigger rats where they are? There's bigger rats. You can't run away from it. You just take the class and get over it. God blesses you. And if you don't learn, you get to take it again. I also learned dependence on God. Learned to just trust Him. Because there's not always people you can trust. Do you know you can't trust everybody? Oh, y'all know that? Okay. So you've had to take some classes on trusting people. Some people say, they'll just brag. I don't trust anybody. Well, totally do, and good for you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I don't trust anyone. Are you better than Jesus? No. Jesus was done every which way, and He loves us anyway. Oh, yeah. I wrote down here, plus lots of homework. I mean, you had all these classes. You had all the fears and worries and all this and strife, and then you had all the blessings and the prayer and faith, and you had it all. But then there was so much homework to do. The homework was right here. You read this, and you got this into your shape, and then you had to stand on this and see what worked. Well, it always works. It may not work when you think it should come, but it'll work. And then I took classes on the church and God's people. Oh, I traveled the United States all around, and we would go into the churches, and you would see the funniest things. Walked into South Carolina church one time, and they had a full-size, man-size, what would you call that thing? A puppet? Not a puppet. He was dressed like a man, had nylon hose over his face with face painted on, jeans, yeah, kind of like a scarecrow, had on jeans, had on a flannel shirt, and when I walked in, I thought there was a man sitting there. I used to like to go in and pray when we first got to the church. And I went in and I saw that thing. I'm like, whoa! Scared me. And I said, Pastor, what's that thing? And he said, oh, that's Oscar. I said, well, what's Oscar's point? He scared me. He said, well, I just wanted to remind the people to never become like Oscar. He's dead. He's nothing. And after I was there for 3 nights, I realized the spirit of Oscar had already gotten on all those people. They were all dead. None of them had a mind. They didn't have a heart. They didn't have anything. And I said, you know what, Pastor? Because I used to be bold in those days. I said, Pastor, you need to get rid of Oscar. That he doesn't have a spirit in him, but it's like your church don't either, bro. And I worked so hard. We worked hard. We sung every song we could sing. I gave altar calls. I never worked so hard in my life. This is supposed to be the Bible belt, but there's no Bible in, there's no buckle on this belt, and there's no whatever. But it's just like, it's not the Bible belt. No, he said it is. He said it's a religious thing. So anyway, I'll get off that. I just said that to say I took classes in the churches. I saw what worked. I saw what didn't work. And I mean, it got really crazy. And some churches were just, oh, they were so spiritually strong. And they were tight. And they were committed. And they were good. And they were hard-working people with a mind to work. And I think of you when I think of that. Oh, with a mind to work. So we took those classes, and my term papers, the essays I wrote, all of that was my sermons. And I will be forever grateful for every sermon. And I've got a box load at home, probably two boxes, full of yellow pads. I just wrote my sermons on yellow pads on the road. You know why we don't have very many evangelists that come through Landmark? And I know you get mad at me sometimes because we've had our share. We have a lot of them. But when I found out that they had four or five messages and they had been preaching that same message for 10 years, honey, I go, okay, how many times they call me? I'm not going to have them. This is why finally I'm happy to have some people coming in here with a pastoral evangelistic anointing, because I can tell you these girls' messages will be fresh. Are y'all in here? Don't ask like Oscar. Now you're going to know what I mean when I say that. But the term papers, I kept my messages fresh every service because I had family sitting there and I didn't want to burn them out. We've had evangelists come through here and their wife or their husband could say, oh, I could preach this message myself. I've heard it so many times. Well, I'm not interested. One person told me one time, Pastor, I just wish that you could preach without your notes like they do on TV. I'm like, well, baby, get me a teleprompter in the back that I can watch. And I can preach just like them. Sometimes when they come and preach without notes, it's because they've preached it a million times, so they don't need any notes. I've been around a little while. I don't like it. But there's a lot of good things too. Wonderful, wonderful men of God. Wonderful women of God. So the call, and that was all, brought a lot of years of hot, fervent prayer. I mean, just prayer. It says just years of fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. And then he sent me home to start the church. And you know what? I just knew God would do it. I just had that little childlike faith. I just knew that he would provide. And you know what? I had absolutely no worries, no stress. No care. It was just like, I know this is what's going to happen. You know, we went on the road the same way. There was no cares. There was no worry. When we started the church, it was like I was going to the bank. I had been in L.A. ministering over the weekend. I came home past the Veterans Memorial Building. Felt, oh, go in there and see if they'll rent that for a church. Well, I didn't know what to say if she said yes. I said, well, okay, I'll go to the bank first, make my deposit, come back by. So I go back by, go to the very newest building in town, huge building. You know, you've been to the Veterans Memorial Building. So I go in there and I ask this little lady, did they ever rent that building? Oh, yes, we rent it out. What would you like it for? And I said, a church. And she said, oh. She said, who's a pastor? And I said, me. But I wasn't a pastor. I will be. Have you ever had a church before? Nope. Traveled to a lot of them. But I want it. And she says, oh, well, how many people do you have? And I said, I don't have any yet. Oh, man, she started just acting like that dentist. Where have you been to school? Oh, nowhere. Porterville, hi. Went to PC for a while to try to study shorthand, flunked out, had to leave. Kathy took over. So anyway, I went in. She says, well, when do you want to start? I'm like, oh, shoot. Lord, when do I want to start? I mean, all this stuff just like annoying. 2 weeks. Oh, you know what? I'd really like to start this in 2 weeks if possible. Oh, of course. I said, so how much? Well, do you want it for any other night? Yeah, I'd like it for midweek. How about Wednesday? Oh, we can't do Wednesday. We can do Tuesday. Okay, I want Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Tuesday. She said, okay. but I'm going to have to charge you $800 a month, utilities included. I said, we can do that. She said, we? I said, yeah, me and the people. I thought you had no people. Don't worry, Marilyn, don't worry. So, but the Lord had shown me that that room, the first room had to start with 500 people, hold 500 people. I went out in the car. She gave me this big PO, like a contract. I said, well, let me take that and look over it. Got out there, and I felt this. You didn't ask her how many people that will hold. Well, I go back in. Honey, how many people will this hold? She says 500. I said, okay, I'll take it. So she goes, okay, give me $500. Shoot. So I gave her $500 because the Lord said he would take care of it. I gave her $500. And by the next day, Velma Bob Morrow had no idea. Velma had given me a check for $1,000 and said, I don't know what you need this for, but the Lord said give you $1,000. So I got the money to the bank before the check got there. Now, I don't do that, okay? Don't do that. I don't want you to give us any of those checks today, all right, unless you can trust God for it. But anyway, I just didn't worry about it, just like it's this little kid faith. And listen, when we started this church, I know I got to go, but I had no physical example. I had no copycat plan. I didn't copy any other pastor, didn't copy any other church. And I'll tell you, this is what's funny, and I wrote this down, and neither did I even consider that. I mean, I didn't even think I need to, of course, you couldn't go online then, 27 years ago. I didn't look around. I just knew that we were supposed to build a barn-like structure. Now, that's really weird and really intimidating for a 44-year-old woman. Build a church that looks like a barn. Are you kidding me? It didn't bother me. If God said, build a barn, and I'll fill it, bring your harvest into the barn, then that's what we did. We built a barn. So I had no example, had no copycat plan. And you know what? I didn't even have any close mentors. Oh, I read after everything Catherine Kuhlman had. I read everything Smith Wigglesworth had. I read everything, every one of those generals out there. I read all of their books. I listened to as many tapes as I could. Amy Semple McPherson, A.A. Allen, all of them, Oral Roberts. Read as much as I could, did my homework. But they were my mentors besides Mother Evan and Bishop in Pasadena. And they ordained me to preach. They were my mentors, but they didn't have. They rented a church somewhere. My internship, I guess, internship, like you that work at hospitals and teachers, was at churches throughout the United States. And I want to tell you, I'm still learning. Always learning. God is not finished. I'm still studying. I'm still seeking the word as though I'd never seen it before. Because I love it. I love this. Daryl, I still have homework. And Daryl, I'm going to tell you something. The anointing of the Lord is upon you, brother. And I think you know it. You've got a call. I could point my fingers at you, and you know the call is upon you, Macy. That's all I've got. But through the years, Landmark has had some really good times, and we've had some really tough times. And we went through many deaths, 5 not too long ago with COVID and 5 more later on. People came, people went. There were hurts, there were misunderstandings, there were betrayals. People said things, they dishonor you, hurtful things that no one else will ever know. You know, your heart, you can't tell everything you know. I got a lot of secrets you'll never know. Some things you can tell. Other things you just can't. Not even to your children. You know why? Because if I tell them, they won't forgive. I mean, that they live in forgiveness too. But if you hurt mama, it's going to hurt them. You know what it's like. So some things I can't tell anyone. And I found out if I told board members, the board members would get mad and hold it. If it hurt somebody in the church. And so you just learn to hold. But that's the life in the fast lane of pastoring. But God said to me, you say, how did you get through those things? Well, one of my mentors, Miss Catherine Kuhlman, that I never met, but I read in one of her books. So you read after people and it will really help you. She said this. She said, when people hurt you, she said, you act as though it never happened. She would have Time Magazine come to her crusades, and you know the healing powers that or healing anointing Catherine Kuhlman had, and they would come to her crusades, which would be packed. Time Magazine would be sitting there on the front, just there to pick at her and tear her down and find anything they could that might hurt her. Somebody said to her, "Catherine, how do you take that when you know?" And then they print these things in the newspaper. She said, "I act just as though it never happened." And if you can ever learn to do that, you'll learn how to walk in forgiveness. And it doesn't matter what anybody says to you. You just hold your head up and your shoulders back, and you can still love them. You don't kick them to the curb. You love people because Jesus said, "That's me." He said, "Are you better than me?" I said, "Lord, never." He said, "You'll be fine. You'll be fine." And again, he spoke to me as though I was a grown woman, as though I was tough. I'm like, "Lord," but he did. And then not only did we have those deaths of COVID, I don't know if y'all remember, but Mike Boudreaux Sr. was one of them. He's down here. I mean, we went through days of revival. We went through many, many months. We went through years of spiritual outpourings in his house. And it was nothing to see people on their knees with their hands lifted up, falling out in the spirit, falling out. Even up here, Sarah fell out with her bass guitar attached to her down at that old building on a cement floor. And she was in the spirit, didn't even touch her, didn't phase her. Mike Boudreaux's down here one day, him and Portia on the front row. Mike's down there, and he's on his knees. He's got both hands up. Not a peculiar picture. I mean, that was him on his knees praising God. All of a sudden, he fell right between the seats. And when he fell out, nobody paid attention. We thought he was in the spirit. We didn't know he was dying. And so we just let him go. And all of a sudden, somebody pointed at him like, "Oh, this guy was turning gray." I mean, white, gray, whatever you want to call it. Whew. But I'm going to, and he had a vision, and he saw me and Portia down there praying, and he said each one of us had a hold of his heels pulling him back down because he was on his way out. Well, he went on to the hospital and was home that afternoon. I remember getting in your ear, Mike, and said, "Go ahead, if you've got to pay the price for this revival, go ahead and pay it, Mike. You'll be all right. I'll see you tonight at home, Brother Mike. I'll see you." And I went over to see you that night. Loretta Rockholt's mother was in the bookstore. She just collapsed, just fell out as a dead woman. 2 or 3 weeks later, Homer Combs was dead for 18 minutes. 18 minutes. Man, we were having communion. We just kept on having communion. Walked back there. The usher said, "Pastor, I think he's dead." Mouth was hanging open. It was just bad. So we just started calling life into him. And you know, by the time he got to that back door, all of a sudden he raised up that hand and waved goodbye to us. 18 minutes he was dead. Did you hear me? And he was alive before he went out the door. We had 4 of those that month. One couple came in and his wife did the same thing. Just fell back over in his arms back here about where you were sitting. My sweet sister, don't be afraid. I mean, they were sitting where you were sitting. But anyway, he carries her out. He said, "I knew we should have never come to this church. I heard that this could happen." And he gets her out. I said, "Usher, go get him and tell him it's going to be all right. Tell him she'll live and not die." I didn't know that for sure, but I just figured she would. You know, it was a good example of all the other patterns we'd had. And they all lived. And you know what? That came and that went. We never saw it again. I'm just telling you, we've seen a lot of things at Landmark, and we haven't seen anything yet. The blessing of the Lord is upon us. I would say we have paid many, many dues here. Probably not done doing that yet. But we've had the greatest outpourings. We've had the finest of guests. We had R.W. Shambach. We had Kilpatrick 2 times. We had Steve Hill, the father of revival. Sammy Rodriguez, all these. I mean, we've had great people. But we have the most beautiful people in here. Beautiful people. Many lives changed. Ministers that were here with us, now they're gone. You say, "Oh yeah, why'd they leave?" So they could go into other ministries. All of them are pastoring. All of them are youth pastors. All of them. Maybe what's Tony doing? Chaplain. Yeah, he's a chaplain for hospice, but they're all in ministry. I know you guys. We did lots of giving, but we've had lots of receiving. We gave lots of giving, but we've watched the way God has blessed our lives. I watched you, Gina, how God blessed your life. Now he's blessing all your children's lives. He's blessed us and touched us in Noren family. Watch the way he blesses you. All those little vacations you get to take. The Boudreaux family's blessed you. You guys never could have children, adopted a child. I've watched you, Chris, a worshiper, how you come up and become the lead worshiper. I mean, we could call names all day to watch and see what the Lord has done. But I had a knowing and a peace that's still on me, and I'll close with this. And I was so thankful for this. One of my favorite parts in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles, don't put it up, Kathy, I'll save time. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, Solomon had gotten the house of the Lord built. And remember this, they had no Bible to hold in their lap. The Old Testament, they didn't have this word. Oh no, that big old thick, it wasn't a Bible. It was the scrolls, the Dead Sea Scrolls. It was written on that. Well, the people didn't get to hold that. Only the priest would have that, access to it. They had no Bible. They had no Holy Spirit. And yet it says all they had, listen to this, musicians and singers, all they had when Solomon got that temple built, they had cymbals and they had trumpets and they had singers, listen to this, and they had 120 priests, 120 priests. And the Bible says that when they all got in there, the cymbals, the trumpets were playing and the 120 priests, I don't know what they were doing, probably serving. And when they did, the Spirit of God came in. The glory of God came in that room. And it says where they were standing, but then they couldn't even stand to bring the word. The priest couldn't do it. They had nothing but the cymbals and 120 priests. Sometimes I feel like our church has been like Gideon. We had a few hundred in the beginning, and we've come down to about 120 right now. Sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. Travel over to the upper room in Acts chapter 2, and you'll see they had no Bible yet. It hadn't been written yet. We had no Bible. Jesus just went away. They had no Holy Spirit. Jesus just said, now you go wait in Jerusalem. So they went to Jerusalem and waited. No Bible, no Holy Ghost. And the Bible says a mighty wind blew in there, and it filled the house where they were sitting. How many people were in that upper room? 120. How many priests were in the temple? 120. You had 120. If that means anything, I don't know. It probably does. But 120, but no word. Over here they were standing. The Bible says that the glory or the Holy Ghost filled the whole house, tongues of fire set on their heads, where they were. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. These people were sitting. These people were standing. Okay, I can tell you, and like most pastors do today and evangelists, if you do this, God will do this. This church needs to do this, and if you do, the glory will fall. If you do this, then this will happen. God said, you just be quiet, because it's all on me. I will let my glory fall when I'm ready for it to fall. Hallelujah, stand with me today. I'm all done. All done. But I said, Lord, are we like Gideon? That you kept cutting us back till now we're about 120. I don't know, but I believe in this last day there's going to be a body of 120 people that's going to see the glory of God fall, and it'll change the world as we know it. Just like the sin and filth and the Biden administration, whether you like it or not, it's all changed within 3 years. But there's going to be a spiritual outpouring for those that are built on the rock. And it won't just be Landmark, of course. Any of the people of God that are standing clothed in his spirit in armor. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands? Close your eyes. Please lift up your hands to God. Even if you're not used to it, would you lift your hands to God? Because I just want to thank you. Father, I want to thank you for this beautiful church building. I want to thank you for this land. We lift up our hands, Lord, to give our Heavenly Father thanks for the grace that you have given us over our church as we celebrate this time. Lord, I know I talked a lot about me and how it came, and forgive me for that, Lord, if I went too far. But I know it was you, and I know it was your grace that caused this house to be here. So, Lord, I pray that your love will bind us together. And not just us, but many in Porterville and surrounding areas that want what we have, and they will join us. Lord, we know that we haven't come this far on our own. We know that. I know that. These know that. We could never do this on our own. But we got here by your beautiful mercy and grace and love. And Lord, we celebrate you. And we celebrate your church. And may the blessings of the Lord rest upon us in this new season as a new year begins and our church starts aiming towards 2024. Again, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for our church. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. All right, now listen, I'm going to come and sit down there and enjoy, or stand and enjoy this. You can sit if you want, but I've got a few people that's going to read a blessing over us. I chose these blessings, and I want you to hear them. I want you to receive the blessing upon the house. And so I'm going to ask all of you, those of you on the platform, just get to your mic, speak real loud. Now listen. And here's the mic, and when you, those of you that are coming to read, please hold the mic up here, because if you hold it out here, it's not effective. Get it here. I know nobody likes it. But if you'll do that, also I want to say this. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Thank you. All right. All right, when you come, I've asked you to read something. That's all I ask you to do. I didn't ask you to do anything else. All right, now I want you to learn something right here. I'm going to teach you something that I also learned, all right, before we go to the blessing. We went to Pensacola, Florida for the revival. And they told us, see, when somebody brings the word, they have the anointing. You don't. I don't care if you're a preacher or an evangelist. You don't. It's a preacher that has it, and you need to leave it. God has anointed them. So we were there at Pensacola, and they'd always say that to us. Now, don't pray for anyone. If you've not been asked to do that, don't do that. And so they finished preaching, and man, the glory was there. Well, we had 21 of our own people there, and I'm standing about back there with somebody, and they were crying, and, you know, I'm a pastor, and couldn't help myself, you know, and so I lay hands on this person and start praying for him, and I was so humiliated and embarrassed, Clara. Here comes the usher, taps me on the shoulder and says, "You can't do that." And I said, "What?" "You can't pray for her." I said, "I am so sorry. She goes to my church. I don't care who she is or who you are. You're not praying here, okay? You didn't have the anointing for this word, so stop." I said, "I am so sorry. Please forgive me." And I never forgot that. Okay, so we have these preachers coming in. Let's not get out of order, okay? They carry the anointing. Unless I'm asked to do something by them, I will submit to them. I will not jump out in front of them, go pray for anyone. There's times, even when Steve was here, you see there's a line up here. And when they come to pray, unless that evangelist asks me to pray, I'm not going to do it. Some of you say, "Pastor, that person standing," somebody walked up a while back and said, "Pastor, that person standing right there, they're wanting you to pray." No, 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 I didn't have the anointing for that. No, the pastor did, and they prayed for me. They can be prayed for by me all the time. Let's let them be prayed for by the anointed one that came. Amen? All right, so where was I going with all that? Oh, yes, yes. So whenever you come up, just read what I gave you, okay? It's not your time to preach. I love your appreciation for the church, but you don't have to tell us that because we all know that. We're going to go over there. But I'm going to ask them just to read the blessing And so now I'll ask you to stand for the blessings. Okay, Brother Art, please. And let's go like this, okay? Don't make us have to find you because I don't know who's next. You do. You've got it on the card. Thank you, Brother Art. Close to the mic, please.
The blessings of Christ Jesus be upon this church. May we serve him always in spirit and in truth. May we be partakers of his grace and the blessings he has granted us. Over everything on earth and the powers of darkness. Happy anniversary to God's church.
Amen.
As there is seed time and harvest time, may the seeds we have planted in giving, in our prayers and supplications, be harvested as we walk into another new season. Happy anniversary, Landmark.
Amen. Amen. Great harvest, Lord.
Rejoicing shall not cease among us as we rejoice and celebrate this day. Happy anniversary to the Church of God. May we celebrate many more years as one in Christ Jesus. May the church be lifted up in the revelation of Jesus Christ for his church. Happy church anniversary.
Amen.
As with every new season, may this new anniversary be the fresh beginning of new and amazing things in this church.
Yes.
May we ask and be given, knock on the doors to be open, and seek to find. Happy church anniversary.
May salvation, healing, prosperity, and transformation of lives be established in our church in this new season. Happy anniversary, Landmark.
As founded on God's leading, fulfilling the divine mandate of which it was laid, may this body of Christ glow with the glory of the Father, with expressions of the gifts of the fruit and the Spirit. Happy anniversary, Church.
May the righteousness and godliness of God be evident in this church. May we live our lives as beautiful examples that will draw people to God and His. Happy anniversary, Landmark.
May an outpouring of miracles, unexplainable wealth, unlimited divine health, spiritual gifts, and an abundance be upon the church. Happy anniversary to our Landmark Church.
In the excitement of today, may the joy that knows no bounds be upon us all. May the joy of the Lord never be absent in this church, now and forever. Happy anniversary, Landmark.
As this new season begins, may this church be like a tree planted by living waters. May the old see dreams and the youth see visions, and may we soar with wings as eagles. Happy anniversary, Church.
To everybody, may the Lord bless you and keep you, be gracious to you, turn his beautiful countenance toward you and give you peace, keep you from all harm and danger, bless your finances, your home, your love life, your married life, I'll say your married life, and all that you are, blessings upon your family and home, in Jesus' name, amen.